Welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Wednesday, February 16th, 2021. The time is 1:30. And I am Senator Costello. I'd like to welcome Senator Stevens. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And Senator Gray Jackson. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'd also like to thank our recording secretary, Carrie. Appreciate you being here for us. And also the LIO operator, Jake. And without your help, this meeting could not take place. I also want to mention that Senator Rivak is in a meeting, and he'll be here as soon as he can, as will Senate President Senator Michicki. So today we have six board and commissions appointments for six boards and commissions, and then we will hear, under bills previously heard, Senate Bill 26, introduced by Senator Wilson. And I also want to mention that Senator Michicki has joined us. So welcome, Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah. But before we get started, we have a special guest. My constituent and also former Lieutenant Governor Lauren Lehman is here. Lauren is here in Juneau as a member of the Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors Board. And I asked him to just briefly give us some comments on the board and your activities with it, and also some of the challenges perhaps that the board faces before we get into reviewing some of the appointees to these other boards. So, Lieutenant Governor Lehman, if you would introduce yourself to the committee. Of course, the building and what we do here is something you're so familiar with, and go ahead and take the floor.
Well, thank you, Chair Costello and members of the committee. I served on the Labor and Commerce Committee when I was in the Senate. I think it's probably safe to say I served on every committee, or almost every committee we had in the Senate, and I will say that my days in the legislature, well, and the follow-up when I served as Lieutenant Governor, some of the finest days of my life. I really treasure them, and I hope you do too. And thank you for serving, all of you. I consider you all friends. And I'm here, and I guess I will say thank you for voting to confirm me to the board, I think. It's when the governor contacted me and asked if I would, fill a vacancy and serve on it, I said, well, yes, because I always want to step up and help out where needed. But I can assure you, serving on a professional licensing board is a lot of work. And I know you have, six or seven people before you on various other boards. Let me say it's a very valuable service that people provide across the state. And on our board, it's definitely not partisan, but we most of the time we agree on just about everything, and occasionally we don't. And it's not done on a partisan basis. It's done more on how people interpret the statutes and the regulations and policy. But the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors serves 7,400 people. Now, of those, about 6,000 are active, and the others have registrations that are considered retired. And so we have 6,000 approximately active registrants, and of those, about half of those are Alaska residents. And of those 3,000, I had the numbers, but it doesn't really matter. It'll be close. About 400 are architects, and about 400 are land surveyors, and the rest are engineers. And I just happen to be a civil engineer, but about two-thirds of the engineers are civil engineers. And we also have a lot of mechanical and electrical engineers. And there are several other disciplines of engineering that the state of Alaska licenses. The main purposes of the board are, first of all, and the primary purpose is to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And does that by establishing minimum standards of competency and testing to make sure that people achieve at least that level, and preferably even higher than that, the standards of competency and And then we do various things to help registrants maintain that competency. And that includes continuing education, follow up on complaints if there are any. Unfortunately, there aren't too many, but there are some. And we as a board then have to deal with those. And we enforce various requirements on competency. So those are basically the three things that we do. And to give you just an idea of the flavor, you know, we spent several hours today resolving various issues of if somebody didn't get their continuing education requirements done in time at the close of this last year, you know, would we be willing to grant them an extension of time? In some cases, it's because of health challenges, serious health challenges, or there's just other reasons. And the answer usually is we allow that. In some cases, we don't, but it depends on the circumstances. And so we argue over that. And as I was leaving to come over here for a few minutes, we were arguing over what to you would be a rather mundane issue of whether soil borings count more toward geotechnical engineering or geological engineering, and you probably don't know the difference, and most of the people on our board don't. But it's some minutia that sometimes we get caught up in our own, you know, our own debates. But at any rate, that's our board, and I applaud you. Look at the people you're going to consider today, And first of all, I thank them. I haven't even looked at the list of who they are, but I just appreciate the fact they're willing to step up and serve on whatever boards. And the two new members the governor has recently named to fill vacancies on our board appear to us to be very competent. They're engaging in our meeting this time just as sit-in observers, which I like, the fact that they're willing to come in and get to know the board before they actually are confirmed. So you'll have those before you. And hi, Senator Rivak, good to be with you.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant Governor Lehman. I really appreciate that. Senator Stevens, did you have a question?
No questions. Oh, good to see you. Good to see you, Lieutenant Governor.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for being here. But what board is it that you serve on? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, this board, the board I'm here for in general, it's the Board of it's called Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors.
Gotcha. Thank you for serving. Thank you, Madam Chair.
We also register landscape architects. Fortunately, that name wasn't put into the title, or else it would be even longer than it is now, which is plenty long. I might note one other thing. We are we're working on a regulatory project. Fortunately for you, it's not going to be ready for this session. I don't even know if it will be ready for next year's legislature, but there are issues that come up that sometimes just need a better interpretation of law. Most of them are what you might see as minor housekeeping, but to resolve some challenges and differences between the statutes and regulations and policy, and just trying to get these all to mesh together, there are some things that need to be clarified. And so for those of you who expect to be here in the next legislature, you might see it.
And we've also been joined by Senator Rivak. Good afternoon, Senator Rivak.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Lauren, I had the chance this morning to come by and visit with the board. And one of the issues that was brought to my attention, which I think the Labor and Commerce Committee would be interested in, and we will hear more about this issue later when we look at the trades and the opportunities for young people to train for jobs in Alaska. But what was brought to my attention is the average age of land surveyors in Alaska. And it's a career that we need more young Alaskans to enter into that field. Do you want to briefly talk about that challenge that we face right now?
One of the surveyors on the board, actually, he's probably one of the youngest members that we have on the board, says that the average age in his profession, in land surveying right now, is 62. I'm above average. in that category. But what it says is we're going to have to backfill with young people who will be willing to enter the profession and be trained. We do have good training programs, but they're recognizing, and we're recognizing the same thing in engineering, we're needing to go down into even younger grades to inspire children about the value of STEM education, you know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and lots of things. But for example, I've been on the advisory board for the Diamond High School Engineering Academy for more than 10 years. And that is an outstanding example of how to expose students to engineering principles and technology. And these students go, oh, this is fun. I didn't realize how much fun it could be. And many of them are choosing to go to UAA and UAF and be trained and graduate and work in Alaska. So we're needing to do this in all of the professions that are under our board. Apparently, and I didn't realize as much until I heard the same thing today, that surveying is an aging profession that maybe more than ever needs to be recruiting people into it. And it's a profession that's really changed since I took surveying classes as a junior in college. And, the techniques, the equipment that is used is very specialized, and it's pretty incredible. And and I think it's probably a lot of fun. And we've raised the educational requirements for surveyors to enter the profession, as we have for all the other professions. So it's not necessarily an easy profession to get into. You have to work at it.
Yeah. Well, does the committee have any questions for Lieutenant Governor Lehman? Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming over to the Capitol from your board meeting, and please pass on that we all really appreciate the service of the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, along with all the boards, and appreciate your service to the state of Alaska. And we look forward to reviewing the two new appointments, and I know that you said they're attending your meeting right now, so I appreciate that commitment. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And I brought our agenda for this meeting, and not that you need to spend a lot of time on it, but so you can see the variety of things that we're doing. This is a hardworking board. It meets four times a year, 2 days each time, plus committee meetings in between. And it's, if you want, you can route it to senators and see some of what we do.
All right. Well, thanks again. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a safe trip back to the district. Right. On our agenda next, we have six boards that we will be reviewing. I'm actually going to start this afternoon's review of the appointees with the Board of Pharmacy. And the person who's been appointed by the governor is Ramsey Bell. And Ramsey, I can see that you're online and appreciate you making yourself available. So if you could introduce yourself to the committee and explain your interest in serving on the board and any background that you feel is relevant to the position, and then we'll open it up for questions. And then we will take public comment, I think, at that point. So go ahead, Ramsey.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Chair. I am Ramsey Bell, an Alaskan pharmacist with 21 years of experience and good standing in all states which I've held licenses. I am a wife, a mom of two boys. We are a hockey, travel, food, and adventure-loving family who moved to Alaska from Illinois just short of about 5 years ago. This has definitely been our biggest adventure to date. I love to read, to build and make things, to bring people joy through making them food. And I like to be silly with my kids. I value truth over comfort in all situations, and I think this is perhaps the biggest asset that I bring to this appointment. My love for pharmacy and health started early. According to my mom, I came home from a career fair in sixth grade and declared that I was going to be a pharmacist after talking with a friend's mom at the fair who was a pharmacist, and I haven't looked back since. I graduated from Purdue University in 2000 and started working in retail pharmacy immediately upon graduating and receiving my license. And I've always sought ways in which I could give more to my profession and patients, and was promoted to pharmacy manager within 9 months of graduating because of my drive to serve others. Over time, I became known as the pharmacy fixer in the company that I worked for because of my skills in talent management and processes and problem solving. I was sent to struggling pharmacies all over Illinois and Indiana to address team, inventory, workflow, and profitability issues, all while still managing my home base pharmacy. I knew early on that I wanted to serve my community in the profession of pharmacy in a bigger way, but running for public office or a position on the State Board of Pharmacy in Illinois is a much different ballgame. It is much less welcoming and community-oriented, and much more about who you know and how much money you have, which was very discouraging to me. I welcomed the closeness of the community in Alaska immediately and the support of all things local when we moved here, and was excited to learn about the opening of this position on the State Board of Pharmacy. I didn't hesitate to apply, and I'm ready to serve Alaskans and the profession of pharmacy in general. So thank you, committee, for your consideration of this appointment.
Thank you very much, Ramsey. I appreciate, again, that you made yourself available. We do have questions from Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ramsey, first, I want to thank you so much for your willingness to serve on the Board of Pharmacy and your experience. But can you, since you are a pharmacist, can you share your thoughts on vaccination, regarding vaccination, COVID vaccination in particular?
Regarding the COVID vaccinations, I feel like informed consent is very critical. I think that people should be encouraged to, once they have received full informed consent, make the decision with their healthcare provider that they think is best for themselves and for their family without coercion or incentivization from any outside entity.
Madam Chair, thank you. May I follow up with another
question?
Absolutely,
Senator Gray Jackson.
So specifically, do you see vaccinations as being an effective way of protecting the community?
I have, from what I have seen in a lot of statistical analysis and following what is happening with vaccinations in our own country, community, and in countries that are ahead of us in the vaccination program, it appears that for the highest risk population, yes, there is benefit to vaccination.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. And Ramsey, I have a question. So the governor's office keeps a list of all the boards and commissions with the roster of the individuals, and you're listed as Lana Bell, and I just was wondering.
Oh,
and also a second question. It says that you were first appointed in 2016, and that you're and then reappointed in 2018, and now this is another reappointment. Could you just explain your service on the board?
I'm not Lana. My understanding is Lana is another individual who is currently on the board. That is definitely not me. This is my first time applying or being appointed ever to any board of pharmacy.
And again, you would be serving under the pharmacist position for South Central?
Okay. Correct.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm actually going to take a brief at ease. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Next, I'm actually going to open public testimony for the Board of Pharmacy related to Ramsey Bell, and we have a few individuals online. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record, and then provide a brief comment less than 2 minutes on the appointee. So first, I would like to invite Rod Gordon.
Yes, hi. My name is Rod Gordon. I'm a pharmacist. I've practiced 42 years, worked everywhere from Saudi Arabia, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Anchorage, Nome, Barrow, Alaska. And so I have quite an extensive experience in pharmacy, and I've worked in North Carolina and Virginia as well. My home state is North Carolina. And I understand that Ramsey has a sincere interest in serving on the board here in this state. However, after reviewing some of her Facebook posts and social media posts, I'm concerned that what I may be reading is more of a political concern about her positions rather than a true medical and science-based concern. The answer that she gave regarding vaccines, in my mind, represents that same political bias rather than a science-based concern that she should have as a board member, especially a board member of pharmacy. There's no question that vaccines make all the difference in managing any communicable disease, especially a respiratory disease like COVID-19. There's no reason for her to have any reservations about recommending vaccinations for all people, regardless of their immune status, in order to minimize that spread. And if you have read her Facebook posts, you'll understand. If you haven't, I'd be happy to share just a snippet of one that she posted on February the 1st regarding, actually, this is in February of 2021, where she refers to an ivermectin post. And ivermectin is a medication that's used primarily in veterinary practice, but it can be used in humans for certain types of parasitic infections. But she's referring to studies which have not been able to be replicated, and we don't have assurances yet in the scientific literature that you can safely use ivermectin for treating COVID-19. But she's purporting that this one study that was published using a 5-day course of ivermectin is a representative of a successful course of treatment. That to me shows a political bias rather than a reliance on science and data. And then she goes on in another post to in January, where she's referring to the recent decision of the federal government to roll back the use of monoclonal antibodies, that's resulted in monoclonal antibodies are not, the older ones are not effective against the Omicron version. And she's saying that Florida was forced to close all of their monoclonal antibody centers due to the federal government's cessation of monoclonal distribution. Other than a few nefarious ideas that have crossed my mind, the only thing that makes sense is that they had to allow these antibody EUAs to expire in order to make way for the EUAs of the new Pfizer and Merck antiviral pills. Pfizer has big plans for a 2022 profit statement. It's the only thing that makes sense. That's not the only thing that makes sense. What makes sense in the use of monoclonal antibodies is, are they effective? And we have data to show that the older ones are not effective. So why would you want to be using a product like that? So that bias, that's what I consider an anti-science bias, is not something that we need on the Board of Pharmacy. And as a pharmacist with 42 years of experience, I've lived through several presidential periods and lots of political periods of time, and this is not what we want. We want cohesiveness. We want attitudes on the Board of Pharmacy that reflect the importance of having an unbiased and unpolitical view, the one that has at its forefront what is best for people and what is, you know, based on science. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Rod. I actually do have a question for you. So do pharmacists in Alaska have prescribing authority? So when you talk about an individual's position related to certain things that are on the market, do pharmacists prescribe?
No. You know, some pharmacies may have a collaborative agreement to allow the use of certain products like vaccines, which means they have authorization from a supervising or authorizing physician to institute a standing order, essentially, for a particular product. But pharmacists are in the check and balance, essentially, for the use of medication. When a prescription comes to the pharmacy, and has to be filled by a pharmacist, they're the last hurdle to protect the patient from something that's potentially dangerous. There is the practice of writing for medications for what's called off-label use, which means a use for which the FDA has not certified or given a blessing, essentially, of effectiveness. ivermectin for COVID is off-label, and we don't have data to support its use, and we do have recommendations from the CDC and the FDA against the use of ivermectin for COVID, and to do otherwise would not be in the best interest, you know, for the safety and the health of the public. Now, pharmacists can choose to do what they feel is appropriate, but to have a person in a leadership role over the practice of pharmacy in the state of Alaska that thinks that that's okay, that in my mind is not good. So.
And again, I really appreciate you calling in to provide public testimony in the process. Next, Daniel Nelson, if you'd like to state your name and affiliation for the record and provide your brief testimony.
Hello, Chair Costello and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to call in and provide public comment regarding Ramsey Bell, the Board of Pharmacy applicant before you today. Again, my name is Dan Nelson. I'm calling in behalf of myself as a concerned pharmacist and also on behalf of my employer, Canada Chiefs Conference. As you know, we've all been through a tremendous roller coaster of highs and lows over the last 2 years in healthcare and public health worlds. Alaska Natives have been particularly hard hit by the effects of the COVID epidemic and with higher rates of hospitalizations, death, and other long-term consequences. Throughout the course of the pandemic, medical and scientific knowledge and information have continued to change, grow, and improve as additional studies have been completed and analyzed. It is clear that what we thought we knew has often been proven incorrect or otherwise changed over time. That has led to an ever-changing landscape of medical literature, best practices, and clinical guidelines. However, what has not changed is the underpinning of it all, and that is that all medical professionals are trained in and grounded by a foundation that is based on evidence-based medicine, also known as science. From the development of new vaccines to exciting new therapeutic options, including things like monoclonal antibodies and oral antivirals, that were specifically designed to treat the SARS-CoV-2 virus, we are living in an era of breakneck medical changes and updates. In light of the pace of change, things can and do become quite confusing. Unfortunately, things have also been unmoored from their scientific bases and morphed into a political ideology. At the end of the day, we really need to go back to the basics and look at what the scientific evidence tells us to make medical decisions and recommendations. That being said, I unfortunately feel that Ramsey Bell has gotten off track in her approach to the practice of pharmacy, her approach to a literature evaluation and application of that evaluation is not in line with professional standards. Frankly, her misinterpretation of current medical literature is not in the best interest of the residents of the state of Alaska and is dangerous to the Alaska Native American Indian population of our great state. Because of these concerns, I would encourage you to not vote in favor of Mrs. Bell's confirmation when the appropriate time comes. Thank you for the opportunity again to testify today.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Senator Stevens.
Just to ask a question. I'm not quite sure how to put this, but if someone were appointed to the board with a particular political ideology, how does that impact their working on that board? How does the board interact? Just help me understand that, if you would, Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we can and should have appointees to all of our boards with diverse political backgrounds and belief systems and feelings. I think that's important to the board's, you know, efficacious provision of the, you know, of what they're mandated with by statute and regulation. The problem is where I see personally get where that becoming problematic is when we have political ideology driving scientifically based practice, and when we again kind of become unmoored from what the science tells us, and we've got this whole body of literature and evidence that tells us one thing, but we've got other things that are not supported by the body of literature, that becomes quite problematic, especially when a person really goes to one far end of the extreme end of the spectrum. And I think that's unfortunately where Mrs. Bell is in this particular arena. So that's, I guess, my take on it.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. Next, we have Tom Wadsworth calling in from Wasilla. Tom, if you could state your name for the record and provide your brief testimony.
Yeah, this is Tom Wadsworth. I am a pharmacist licensed in Alaska of 20 years, and I appreciate Chair Costello for an opportunity to address the members of your committee. And I wanted to express my opinion today. It doesn't represent the opinions of or positions of my employer. They are my express opinions. With that said, I rise in opposition to the appointment of Ramsey Bell to the Alaska Board of Pharmacy. Like my colleagues just said, and in answer to some of the questions that were asked, the Board of Pharmacy is statutorily mandated to establish and enforce professional standards. That includes competence and rules of conduct for pharmacists that are practicing here in our state. The members of the Board of Pharmacy should have experience and demonstrate competence and commitment to what Dan called evidence-based best practices and standards of care. Even a cursory review of Ramsey Bell's social media posts over the last few years demonstrates an extreme and politicized and even a conspiratorial view that are strongly at variance with our established, proven, time-proven standards and best practices that we have in our profession. The sentiments and misinterpreted information that you heard Rod express is consistently expressed on her social media page and in direct contradiction to the mission of the Board of Pharmacy. She has demonstrated time and time again in her inability to critically evaluate and interpret medical literature as it comes forward and then politicizes that misinterpretation to promote things like conspiracy theories and even disparage the very profession for which she now seeks to represent and regulate. So Ramsey Bell clearly represents a heretical viewpoint within our profession with the intent of imposing those views through this regulatory body. And I absolutely believe she is not the right person for this position. In fact, she is the epitome of who should not be appointed to regulatory boards and representing our profession, much less regulating it. So I strongly oppose her appointment to the Alaska Board of Pharmacy, and I encourage you to do the same. Thank you.
Are there any further questions from committee members? Yes, I see we have an additional person. Callista Carlton with the South Central Foundation Pharmacy. If you could state your name for the record, please, and provide your testimony.
Sure. This is Callista Carlton from South Central Foundation Pharmacy. I believe that those who spoke before me have said it as well as could be said. I also would oppose her appointment. I'm concerned that her views are divisive and do not represent the pharmacy practice as a whole. So I welcome any questions, but I would also like to just voice my opposition.
Thank you. I actually do have a question. So the statute here says that in order to serve on the board, you essentially have to have been practicing for 3 years, and then it talks about the fact that the board shall include at least one member from each judicial district. It doesn't mention any political views or anything related to the comments that I've been hearing. And I was just wondering if you could expand on that. It seems to me that any person who is a licensed pharmacist in Alaska and has been serving for 3 years would therefore qualify to serve on the board.
Yes, they may qualify, but those on the board should represent the state and what's in the best interest of the pharmacist in the state. And I don't believe that Ramsey Bell is capable of that based off of her posts and her beliefs. So she may just technically qualify, but I would not recommend her for the position.
Okay, well, thank you again for calling in. Is there anyone else online or in Juneau who wishes to testify on the appointment of Ramsey Bell to the Board of Pharmacy? Okay, seeing none, I will close public testimony. Next, we have the Alaska Labor Relations Agency, and we have Paula Harrison. Paula, if you could state your name for the record and explain to the committee your interest in serving Alaska in this capacity on the Alaska Labor Relations Agency.
Hi, my name is Paula Harrison. I am actually the Director of Human Resources and Labor Relations for NSTAR Natural Gas. I have over 38 years of experience with labor relations, negotiating contracts, and all of the things that go with labor relations. I have served as chair of the Alaska Labor Relations Agency for the last 3 years and would appreciate the support of my my reappointment.
Thank you very much for your comments. Are there any questions from committee members?
Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Just a quick question. Paula, how does one become the chair? You were appointed to the board. How did you become the chair?
I was appointed by the governor.
The governor appointed you chair?
Yes.
Not the board. Okay, great. Thank you, Paula.
You're welcome.
And Paula, I have a question. This is Senator Costello. What are some of the challenges that the Labor Relations Board is facing, and how do you see overcoming those challenges?
Well, you know, the last 3 years, I think our biggest, or actually the last couple of years, our biggest challenge has been COVID and the ability to basically get together as a board. We're doing that via Teams or Zoom, and that seems to be working fine. But actually, it's been a pretty smooth 3 years. My personal opinion is, yes, we've had some issues and some cases that have had to have been decided. But I've only had one that has gone to the board where I've actually, as the chair, appointed three members of the board to actually hear the case. And so that's pretty good, I think. So I think our labor relations and employers, public employers, of course, which is who we serve, has been pretty minimal as far as issues that we've had.
And then for the committee, could you briefly describe the mission of the board and what you seek to accomplish?
Sure. We basically administer the Public Employee Relations Act, and as well as the labor provisions for the Alaska Railroad Corporation Act, as it pertains only to public sector collective bargaining. That would include like the state of Alaska, all the municipalities, the boroughs, the universities, school districts, and all of their employees in Alaska. So an employee of one of those agencies can also bring an action to the board. We also conduct elections to certify or decertify employee representatives. So if you had a group that was organizing and say the Teamsters or IBEW or one of them was helping them to get organized, then we would basically either certify or decertify based on a vote. And there's certain regulations and stuff that they have to follow in order to take their votes. We hear unfair labor practices charges that may be brought by employers or by unions or by individuals as well. And then we help to determine like what the appropriate bargaining units are and enforce those collective bargaining agreements.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone online or in the room who wishes to testify on the appointment of Paula Harrison to the Labor Relations Agency? Okay, that's opening public testimony. I will now close public testimony on this appointment. Thank you very much, Paula. I appreciate you making yourself available to the committee. Next, we have the Board of Examiners and Optometry, and Dr. Kathleen Rice is available for introduction to the committee, and if you could explain your interest in serving on the board, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you great.
Okay. So my name is Kathleen Rice. I am an optometrist in Kenai. I was an optometrist in Fairbanks for 8 years, and I've been in Kenai for 7.5 now. And I would like to serve on the Board of Examiners in Optometry because I feel that optometrists should contribute to the profession in ways beyond just clinical care. And I think that it's important to have a known standardized care to all Alaskans, regardless of their location, which I think is a core responsibility of the board. I have been practicing optometry for nearly 17 years. So I feel that having provided care for this amount of time in a commercial setting, an ophthalmologic setting, as well as a private practice setting, helps me to understand optometry in different modes of practice. And I also feel like I can relate to optometrists in these different settings.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rice. Are there any questions that committee members have? Okay. Senator Michicki.
I should probably put on the record, I may have a bit of a conflict. Dr. Rice is a friend and probably the best optometrist I've ever met. So I thought I'd put that on the record. I would gladly support her, but I thought I should be transparent.
Thank you very much, Senator Michicki. Is there anyone online or in the room who wishes to testify on the appointment of Dr. Rice to the Board of Examiners in Optometry? Okay, I will open and close public testimony. Thank you very much for making yourself available to the committee today, and I really appreciate your willingness to serve on such an important board.
Thank you.
Next, we have Douglas Moore, who is being considered for the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Douglas, if you could state your name for the record and share a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving on this board.
Certainly. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and the members of the committee. My name is Doug Moore. I am a 41-year resident of Talkeetna, Alaska. That entire time, I've operated or worked in a small business. I currently own Moore's Hardware and Building Supply, Inc., along with my wife and my family. We employ approximately 20 people in Talkeetna. I was actually tapped to be on the ABC board last year, roughly in May, and I have served since that time and have been part of and actively part of four meetings with the ABC board already. I bring a unique mix of the fact that I've been involved in small business pretty much my entire life. I also volunteered as an EMT and firefighter for over a decade, so I bring a unique public safety eye to this board position as well. I've been nominated as a public member, which the board has two industry members, one law enforcement member, and two public members, of which we are not allowed to be part of the alcohol industry, so I kind of fit that niche pretty well. I have enjoyed my time on the board greatly. I don't know if the committee knows that the board is virtually all brand new over the last 18 months, and we've done a remarkable job of keeping things flowing for licensing, for it's a vital tourism and small business industry in Alaska. Director Klinkhart has been doing, I just like to say, he's done an amazing job of, we also replaced a director, not just board members. So that's about it, basically. I'm not overly comfortable doing these things. I haven't interviewed for anything in over 30 years. So I appreciate your support. I've greatly enjoyed being on this board, and I really enjoy being part of licensing small businesses in Alaska and promoting them.
Well, Douglas, thank you. You did a fabulous job. And I don't see any questions from committee members, unless Senator Reback has a question.
Yeah, without taking up too much time, Madam Chair, I just want to say I'm looking through here, Doug. We've met in the past up at your store there, and I just really appreciate seeing the level of community service that you have on your application. So aside from your qualifications for this board, I just wanted to say thank you for your involvement in the community in many different capacities and your willingness to serve.
Thank you, Senator Reback. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Douglas. Is there anyone here in Juneau or online who wishes to testify on the appointment of Douglas Moore to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board? Okay, seeing none, I will open and close public testimony. Thanks for making yourself available to the committee today.
I just went away. Hey.
Okay, next we have the Board of Veterinary Examiners. We have Ciara Valaro, who is online. And if you could introduce yourself to the committee and explain your interest in serving on this board.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Ciara Valaro. I originally am from California. I graduated from Western University of Health Sciences in 2007 and did my first 5 years of practice in California before moving up to Alaska. The difference in pretty much just not the territory, but the practice of medicine in Alaska.
Oh, my microphone is off. They made me go away for some reason.
For most of the veterinarians in the state of Alaska, they have to be resourceful, rugged, and spirited in their approach to provide care in remote and challenging circumstances. Our industry is on the brink of modernizing medical care, the type of care one can see and find in large urban cities. These changes can't take place without advocates forging the way for more advancements, more treatment options, and more affordable options for every demographic. I'm a dedicated, passionate, and imaginative professional who knows that we live in a state where we have some of the most resolute veterinarians in the industry. I like to join the other professionals on the board who don't just believe that change and growth are possible, but willing to do the work to get to the state of Alaska there.
Well, thank you very much for that explanation about your interest in serving on the board. Are there certain challenges that veterinarians have been experiencing lately? I know we have been dealing with one of the issues that challenges you have, but can you explain perhaps some of the challenges that have come up from COVID and how the board plans to address those?
So with COVID, a lot of the hardship comes from the curbside. Curbside has made it very difficult for clients and their patients to be seen in a timely manner. Our emergency hospitals are vastly overrun due to it. And losing individuals within the industry as well has hurt for technicians, receptionists, and such, that being able to open our doors again and start seeing our clientele has made a significant difference. But the biggest one that you may be referencing to is getting licensed veterinarians right now. I know there are a couple that have been waiting on a licensure that have already moved up, ready to practice, but can't. So getting more individuals in the hospital setting and practicing is going to make a big difference. From there, it's hard, you know, getting the community and the job market interested into the veterinary field again is one thing that we definitely need to focus on.
Thank you very much. And it says in your application that you are seeking the public seat on this board, and I'm wondering if that's an inaccurate that must be inaccurate. Is that what seat are you applying for?
Being on the Board of Veterinary Examiners.
As a veterinarian.
Correct.
Okay. Well, we will look into that. Thank you very much. I appreciate you making yourself available to the committee. Is there anyone here in Juneau or online who wishes to testify on the appointment of Ciara Valaro to the Board of Veterinarian Examiners? Okay, seeing none, we will open and close public testimony. Again, thank you so much for making yourself available today. Next, we have an appointee to the board, the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. And Stephen Hagedorn is online. Stephen, if you could introduce yourself to the committee. Let us know what seat you're actually applying to and whether or not you've served before, and then explain your interest in serving on that board.
Yes, Madam Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Chairman Costello and committee members. I came to Alaska in 1971. My name is Steve Hagedorn. I was a member of the United States Army at that time. Fell in love with Alaska and never really left. I worked for the Alaska Railroad for 34 years. The last 25 of those years was as their risk manager. I retired in 2009, but I maintained my interest in workers' compensation matters. I was appointed to the Workers' Compensation Board in 1991 by Governor Hickel and have and served over 15 years on the board before being appointed in 2008 as a industry member on the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. I've served there for the last 14 years. I've always felt it important to give back to a state that I've loved so much, and that's why I've maintained an interest in workers' compensation matters and have desired and have put myself back up for reappointment for this position. I'd be happy to entertain any questions that the committee has.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Stephen? Stephen, I was curious, and I've sort of been asking this question of many of the appointees, but what challenges do you think the commission faces, and can you explain how the board or the commission will be addressing those challenges or plans to?
Well, you know, we're an appellate body. We took over back in 2006 as the appeal from the board. We took over from the Superior Court. You know, the challenges that we've had, I think, are a lot like everyone else's. We have, you know, had to adapt over time because of COVID restrictions. We haven't been able to, you know, have the same contacts with each other. Everything is pretty much done on a Zoom call now, which has worked quite well, but it doesn't give you that personal contact that sometimes, you know, helps when you're deliberating appeals. But, you know, I believe, you know, what I have seen over the course of my over 30 years in workers' compensation is a system that works for almost all injured workers, and that's the most important thing that we can do and that we do.
Okay. Are there other questions that committee members have? Okay, again, I want to thank you for your willingness to serve on this really important board, and we will then open up public testimony for Stephen Hagedorn to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. Is there anyone here in Juneau or in, online that wishes to testify? Okay, seeing none, we will go ahead and close public testimony, and we will take a brief at ease. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Want to again thank all of the appointees who called in this afternoon for the committee, and we will hold those appointees and then move them all out at one meeting. We have the ones from the previous meeting, and we're just looking for some updated clerical information from the third floor on that one. So I just wanted to let the appointees know that it's common that we move your name forward, and so we're just going to be doing it all at the same time. So, again, thank you very much. Next on the agenda, we have Senate Bill 26, and this is the third hearing on Senate Bill 26. It's the repeal of Certificate of Need Bill, and we do have an amendment, Amendment 1. Senator Machicki, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I move Amendment Number 1.
And I'll go ahead and object for the sake of explanation.
Yeah, so if we are going to repeal Certificate of Need, I this is the Labor and Commerce Committee. I know we're cognizant of the investments that people make, depending on kind of the rules at the time. And I just thought it's important that people were able to recover costs under a set of rules. It doesn't change the ultimate outcome of the bill, but would it? And we spoke with multiple national experts and folks in other states that kind of agreed that this was a good path. What it does, it kind of looks at the major purchases such as CT and MRI scanners and their lifespan And essentially what it does, it gives more time for those individuals. And you can see that it has a sliding scale. So a $5 million investment gives an extra year after the effective date of this bill. $7.5 million gives 3 years. $10 million gives 5 years. And $15 million, 7 years. Then it has the same language. It essentially closes this whole thing out by July 1st of 31 for those folks that have a certificate of need. The bill already doesn't allow additional certificates of need after the effective date and doesn't allow, so that language of take no action to revoke, enforce, or modify a certificate of need is similar in the bill. It's just a separate section saying essentially the same thing for these folks that have that level of investment.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. I'd like to actually invite the bill sponsor and your staff forward to the table at this time. My question, Senator Machicki, has to do with other states. Are we aware of other states that have stair-stepped out of the Certificate of Need program? And if so, could you just briefly share that with the committee?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I did not research that, of what kind of creativity folks used in different states. We worked with an independent group on having them call around the different kind of experts in the country, that there's a guy in Alaska that wants to help people recover their costs for those that already have a CON, and this was what they brought to the table.
Thank you, and I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the amendment. Is there any further objection to this amendment, Amendment 1? Okay, seeing none, there's the amendment does pass. Welcome, Senator Wilson and Gary. Appreciate you being here today. Did you want to provide any comments on the bill itself or the amendment that was just passed before we take action on the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the record, this is Senator David Wilson. And thank you, Labor and Commerce Committee, for giving this bill another hearing. Briefly, just want to talk upon the past couple of years. You know, the entire world has to deal with the pandemic. Here in our country, the pandemic in many states had to suspend these type of laws and regulations to allow those healthcare professionals the quick flexibility to construct new facilities, expand the number of beds, and to provide those critical care services. In our own state, passed the suspension of these rules and regulations through the governor's emergency orders and with the new expanded powers of the Commissioner of Health and Social Services within our state. Again, you know, we've provided over four decades of data to show why these laws have not really controlled cost or improved quality or outcomes. And studies have shown that well-functioning healthcare markets improve the access to quality care outcomes and, more importantly, incentivize that innovation from new entrants that can help lower the cost of healthcare services for consumers. Again, we believe that the repeal of Alaska Certificate of Need laws would help provide those Alaskans those benefits and choice of competition. And, you know, I always respect the committee process, and so we will honor the committee wishes.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. And this is the third hearing on this bill, but could you, it actually, the first one was last year. Could you, for the sake of the committee, just explain briefly the program of Certificate of Need, how it works, and again, you know, we realize this bill will repeal that program, but could you please explain that to the committee?
Madam Chair, I will allow Mr. Zepp, since he came all the way up here, and spend some time explaining about Certificate of Need. But CON does stand for Certificate of Need. It's a law that allows processes that it's a regulatory process that health facilities in certain areas were not allowed to grant access if a dollar threshold of a facility, certain equipment, whether you're physician owned or natively tribe owned facilities are waived from going through this regulatory process. And it's a very lengthy and expensive process to allow new entrants to the healthcare market if they exceed certain thresholds, like the cost of care, the cost of the facility, if they're not privately owned, and it's just one of those limited market entries. And Mr. Zett, may add anything else that I may have missed?
Madam Chair, committee members, for the record, my name is Gary Zapp, staff to Senator David Wilson. I don't have a whole lot to add. I think Senator Wilson did a good job summarizing this. Basically, for healthcare facilities, services in Alaska, expansion requires government approval. And this bill would repeal that process, which approximately one-third of our country currently enjoys. Over 130 million Americans live without certificate of need, and their healthcare markets function better than ours do. The world does not end. Thank you.
Senator Reback, would you like to make the motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I will just for everybody's understanding or knowledge, this does have this will go to a finance committee next, so it does have some additional fiscal note issues to work through there. So with that, I move Senate Bill number 26, version Bravo, also referred to as 32-Lima-Sierra-0232, /Bravo, be advanced from committee as amended with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to moving the bill? Okay, seeing none, the bill does move from committee. And I want to thank the sponsor and your staff for being here today and for your patience related to this bill. Our next meeting will be on Monday, and the meeting is adjourned. It is 2:35.